Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation.
Hey guys, I want to welcome you to More Than That, our weekly podcast where we take some time to interview the person who brought God's word on Sunday. And this week we have
Larry Stout
with us, and my name is Raphael. This last Sunday he spoke on "Do not have adultery, shall not commit adultery." And we always ask this one question, Larry, if you had 10 more minutes and there was just something that kind of became, that you really wanted to say, or things that maybe you were stewing over, brewing over after that, that sermon, what would it be?
You know, it was very hard for me to scratch a story that I really wanted to tell, but I wanted to keep it more on a straight arrow. But there was a couple that I know when we were missionaries in Latvia. Now, this is back in the 90s. I had a young man that came to me, and his story was absolutely astounding. His name was Artis Selmage, and Artis, A-R-T-I-S, that's a pretty common Latvian name. One of the most brilliant young men I ever knew. Young in his 20s, he's a computer geek. He got a job with a major corporation doing all their computer work and was just paid very well, had a company car. I mean, he had everything going for him. But he was struggling because he just thought there's got to be more to life. And so he went on to get a master's degree in philosophy just because he was bored.
Yeah.
Ended up reading Augustine's Confessions and came to Christ as a result of reading that.
Yeah.
Never knew a Christian, never met a Christian that he could remember.
Yeah.
And yet, so now he honestly thinks he's the only Christian that he knows. I mean, he's just one and off. Well, he's convicted, though. Now, get this. He just begins to read the Bible because now he's a believer in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's seeking to please God, now, again, this is amazing. No church, no pastor. He's convicted because he has a girlfriend he lives with. Mm-hmm. Her name's Christina.
Yeah.
And he now believes that this is wrong for him to be living with her, and especially having sexual matters, you know, outside of marriage. But he doesn't know how to tell her this because they're in love and they're very happy together. Uh-huh. And he's there struggling with this. And so now he's avoiding her at night. Lo and behold, now this is God. At exactly the same time, she got around some Christians. And she becomes a believer, but she's afraid to tell Artis because she suddenly now is convicted that she shouldn't be sleeping with him. So both of them are now acting very strange toward one another, and they're thinking, they're trying to figure out what's going on with the other person.
Hmm.
Now, this went for about a week or so. It didn't take too long before finally Artis says, I just got to tell her. I just got to tell her I'm a Christian now. And so when he shared that, she just got so delighted that literally, that was on, I think, a Tuesday or Wednesday, they got married that Saturday because they just realized now. But the point of the story, and by the way, he went on to become, they have at least 5 kids to my last count. He is the director of the Baltic Reformed Theological Seminary. He went on to become a professor, just brilliant, brilliant guy. But to me, that story illustrates how much God wants people to have truly a one flesh relationship in marriage.
Yeah.
That's where it belongs. So much so that that literally virgins of the faith, if I could call it that, just two very innocent people who didn't know squat, but God put upon their hearts and their innocence that very thing. And I think that for those that struggle with this sexual purity, it's because we haven't got the gospel deep enough.
Yeah.
I mean, forgive me, but I think the deeper you understand the gospel, when you understand how literally apart from him you can do nothing.
Yeah.
Your willpower, all your whatevers are not going to make it until you get desperate with the Lord and come before him in all helplessness, cry out and understand the grace that's given to us in Christ. How abundant is his grace? How beautiful is the salvation that we find in Christ. Suddenly, what was a major hurdle in your life, which was a major stumbling block, suddenly can become a great victory.
And
but it might take time.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a process, or it might be, like in their case, just instantaneous. You can't find models that are going to one size fits all. But I have a problem with those that tell me, well, you know, it doesn't affect me anymore. I'm used to it, or something like that.
Yeah.
Or actually brag that they can watch R-rated movies and it doesn't. No, it does impact you. You become what you behold.
Mm-hmm.
You've just dulled your senses, that's all.
Yeah.
What has happened is
you're
getting used to sin, and that's a bad place to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think is the emphasis I wanted to try, but I wanted to use scripture more to get that across rather than just an anecdotal story. But it's a true story, and I give God glory for it.
That's good. That is good. That's it makes it, the conversations we think are very hard to have.
Mm.
You know, if it's God's word, you really just have, I'm just learning, if it's God's word, you don't have to defend it.
Mm-hmm.
It's already at work. So I love that story. Love that story. Probably the biggest question that at least probably like you know, you can probably explain this even to us a little bit more is, you know, marriage, you know, what's at stake?
Mm.
If that union is violated,
mm-hmm.
if it's,
mm-hmm.
why is God putting a fence between man and woman? What's at stake? What is at stake? What do you see being at stake if all of a sudden there's now more than two people and that covenant is?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I have too many examples.
Yeah. I
almost don't want to go there, but there's just so much wrong where I've had men confess that they're making love not to their wife, but their mind is on, you know, imagining a different person. I mean, just some really, it just so defiles what God created as something beautiful and wonderful has been so distorted that and unfortunately with because of all the what we have today, I mean with anything beyond the imagination that's available online and through through our media sources. It's really what I've heard more from young people is they can't even they've lost all their innocence. So it has become now just almost like a I don't know what you're gonna say, a primal act, just a sort of a like a forgive me, but almost like two animals coming together. I mean it's they don't understand. I'm angry at the devil for stealing the joy that God intended for this beautiful, wonderful relationship. And that, I guess, I don't know, that's sort of a, I don't know how to answer the question, but that's what comes to my mind.
Yeah.
And I, you know, the word that comes to me, I mean, the word of God, Psalm 119, How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. I mean, that's, I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from you. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. You know, here's the great thing. God can redeem anything. I really believe, I honestly believe, and I do have a couple fellows, I know this happened, where they literally went through a mind dump, where God just kind of cleansed them when because they got the word and became just so saturated in focusing on the Lord that now God redeemed their marital relationships and were able then to enjoy what God was giving them. Now, you can't totally lose it all, but especially if you spent years and years and years, you know.
Yeah. So would you say, using Psalm 119, what's at stake is that basically it empties you of the true treasure, which is God himself. Because treasuring his word is really treasuring him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking while you were talking, blessed are the pure in heart.
Yeah, yep.
For
yep.
they shall see God. Like that, that at the end of the day, like I think when it comes to struggle or with sin, or whether it's sexual immorality, whether it's anything, the biggest thing is thinking about what is this about? Like, what's the bigger fight here? That I don't see God.
Yes, yes, yes. Exactly.
And if I don't see God, then I won't be like him. And if I'm not like him, then I won't project his faithful love. This is like your Ephesians 5, where he's saying this is a mystery. I'm talking about Christ and the church. What's at stake is obviously that marriage is meant to display God. And our favorite phrase is that God is what? He is abounding in steadfast love.
Yeah.
That like you're meant to have this steadfast, you know, we just like, I was celebrating the Muckles the other day, just they're celebrating 50 years in marriage. Like, and for a lot of people, that's unheard of. But yet that's 50 years of steadfast love. That at the end of the day, what does that do? It becomes a billboard of, oh, wow. So, man, we're celebrating 50 years, but this is God. He is abounding in steadfast love from one generation to the next, to the next. So it becomes
very
important. Yeah.
I mean, we're hitting 48 this year.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I just want to encourage young couples especially.
Yeah.
If you abide in this, if you really seek that sense of purity, it gets better.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly, sincerely, and I'm not joking, I honestly, when I look at my wife, I believe I'm looking at the most beautiful woman in the world. Yes, I see, you know, actresses, you know, they're very attractive. But I would rather be with that woman that God has given to me and has fashioned towards me and is everything in a woman that I could ever want.
Yeah.
There's just such peace that comes with that. Yeah. There's a joy. I mean, golly, what else would you want?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, I don't envy anybody.
Yeah. That's the reward part that you were talking about in Ecclesiastes 9:9.
Yes.
The reward of it is that you are fully known, you're fully loved,
but it comes back then.
Yeah.
The love flowers hate weeds. That just as you quote John Owen
like
a lot
that,
too. You know, be killing sin or it'll kill you.
Yeah.
You have to hate, and I mean hate, all the pornography, all the vices, all those. I mean, you have to detest it. You have to want to just be touch sensitive. It's like you got super bad sunburn and you touch it and you want that attitude towards those kind of vices, because all they are going to do is drag you down to the pit. You might have just this momentary little ooh-ah, but trust me, you are going to, it's a bitter sweet in the long term. So I just can tell these, especially young men. I mean, women, you have your issues too, but guys, especially young guys, you don't know what you're missing by.
Actually, I would probably even just say young women too. Young women or women in general, because the studies have kind of come out that basically like that, whether it's porn addiction, whether it's like, it's literally like, it's one for one now. It's really, so I wanted to throw in like, just like, this is something that I heard recently.
Please.
Coping strategies when it comes to a ton of times, like the, you know, a lot of these things, we need strategies to fight, like, right? And so I found this word, the acronym is ALERT.
Oh,
like alert,
A-L-E-R-T.
Which is
A-L-E-R-T.
Yes.
All right.
So A, meaning admit the behavior. Admit the behavior where you ask yourself this statement, specifically when acting out in this way.
Yeah.
I feel, you know, when acting out this way, what is it that I want to, when, you know, when I feel like, you know, watching something explicit, like admit the behavior, as in like, but what's behind that? And a ton of times, it's a lot of times it's because of stress. A lot of times it's because it's basically like at the end of the day, it's a refuge of some sort.
You have an excuse for it.
Yeah, there's an excuse. So,
and people are good at excuses. Yeah. They're not good at anything else.
Yeah,
but,
so, so, and then L stands for verbalize the lies. Like, I typically tell myself this behavior is acceptable because, so then you expose that self, self-justified big picture lies. I need soothing. This is what, like, this is how I've deceived myself in this way.
Yeah.
And then E is escaping. Identify what you want. What you want to escape or to avoid. Why is it that you're doing this? Like, you know, is it because of the pain that you're trying to, like? Is it because of the conflict? Is it because of stress of responsibility? What is it that you're trying to avoid? A ton of times, you're going towards some of those things because you're trying to run away from something else. You're trying to numb yourself from the real problem, right?
Yeah, that's good.
So, so just admit, what am I escaping from? I don't, you know, I don't want the stress or whatever it is that I feel when this. You know, I used to struggle with pornography. Most of it was because I was avoiding the stress of maybe school or whatever it is, like, and you just like, it's every single vice becomes that.
Yeah.
Let me just take my mind off this, you know,
to relax.
And then relax, and then resist the behavior. That's our, you know, think about it. 4 minutes or typically an hour after I act out this way, this is how I feel. Begin to instruct yourself, like, in terms of like, go beyond this thing. A lot of times we always look, you say something about like, you know, the most ideal way to look at things is backwards. Like, it's like, it's always like when you look backwards, you're like, you need to be able to look back and say, man, the last time I indulged in this, oh man, that disturbed my communion with God. That disturbed this, this is, and like be able to actually now be able to, and then maybe resist the behavior also by maybe calling someone. And saying like, and then contact that person, give them, you know, this is my next 4 hours. This is my plan for the next 4 hours. What I'm going to do. Can we go for a walk? Can we do something? Call those people. And then the last one, this is now where you came in. I kind of just like trade in unhealthy behavior for a healthier one. So trade in, which is like, you know, what is it, health, what's a healthier activity I enjoy that I can plan for and engage in? And you nailed it on Sunday. Trade in porn for prayer. Like, literally, like, I know they say it won't work. What about, how can a young man keep himself pure? Like, trade in scripture. Like, yeah. Immerse yourself in community. Engage in what we call healthy distractions for at least 21 days plus.
Yeah, you know? You got it.
But in the meantime, anyway, that's that. I'm done with that. Like, I thought about that, like, as you were kind of just saying, and then I stumbled onto this, like, everything Larry said fits in this acronym. Mm. And so, anyway.
And just as a key point at the end, we got to give people hope. I mean, a lot of people have been trapped in this for years and years, and they think it's never, no, everybody can have hope in the gospel, in Christ, if we truly submit ourselves, if we, you know, just... But you can't you can't be halfway pregnant on this. You know what I mean?
You gotta
stop. It there's no compromise.
I gotta
leave this. I gotta get rid of this. And Lord, by your grace, you'll show me how.
Can I finish by reading a quote?
Please.
I think
C.S. Lewis.
This is my favorite quote by C.S. Lewis. All right. You read my other favorite quote on Sunday.
All right.
So he says, no man knows how bad he is until he has tried hard to be good.
Mm.
A silly idea is current that a good person, that good people, do not know what temptation means.
Mm.
This is an obvious lie. Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. After all, you find out the strength of the German army by fighting against it, not by giving in. You find out the strength of a wind by walking against it, not by lying down. A man who gives into temptation after 5 minutes simply does not know what it would have been like an hour later. That is why bad people, in one sense, know very little about badness. They have lived a sheltered life of always giving in. We never find out the strength of the evil impulse inside us until we try to fight it.
Wow.
And now this is where you hit it. And Christ, because he was the only man who never yielded to temptation, is the only man who knows to the full what temptation means, the only complete realist. I would say that then he is the only one who can navigate us out of this.
Yeah.
Like, so anyway.
Is that a Mirror Christianity quote? Or
I have this little book of quotes from C.S. Lewis, and I discovered it there.
You don't have the source?
No, it's a C.S. Lewis book. Like, they just have a ton of quotes that they took from him.
Book they came from.
Yeah.
But what was C.S. Lewis?
It's a little C.S. Lewis book of wisdom.
And so in there, there's
just like all these Anyway, thank you so much for joining us for More Than That. Thank you so much, Larry, for your labor and your wisdom as well.
Thank you.
As we always say, this is an addition to, a supplement to the sermon. So go listen to that and then listen to this. And we pray that this blesses you. Please have an amazing day.
Mm-hmm.